Hello and welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd and you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at redrock_bball, facebook.com/redrockbasketball, email is redrockfantasybasketball@gmail.com, and there is the YouTube channel which you can check out, and make sure you are checking out that YouTube channel because there's a lot of good things in there. You would have seen myself, Matt Smith and Mark Roberts do the mock draft, so you can check up the video of that on there, which is also in a podcast form. There's videos of me talking about per 36 minute stars, in addition to my short little season review. So head across to the YouTube channel and subscribe to that as well. And speaking of season in reviews, this is the last of the season in reviews. We're saving the best for last. We're doing the Golden State Warriors. Maybe that's a little bit of a tenuous link between that song and the Golden State Warriors, but hopefully those of you who knew what the song was understood it. Here we are. They're the champions. They had the best player in the league, the MVP, Steph Curry, the best player in fantasy basketball, Steph Curry. But overall, it's not all that fantasy-friendly a team. It's not like a team like the Hawks where we've got five or six guys who you can consider for standard leagues. That's not how the Warriors are built in terms of their fantasy value. Let's start by talking about the best player, and that is Steph Curry. He was the number one player in head-to-head leagues, total value, per game value, number two overall for roto leagues. He was just incredible. And he was also, the thing that's most amazing about him is if we look at per 36 value, he was still the number one player. So there wasn't someone else that played 25 minutes that, you know, if you extrapolate their stats out, was better than him. He was still the best. And he played only 33 minutes a game, almost 24 points a game, 3.5 triples, 4.5 rebounds, over 7.5 assists, 2 steals, 49-91 is his percentages. There's no hole in his game. Yeah, he doesn't block shots. The rebounds are still pretty good. Everything about Steph Curry was fantastic this season, is fantastic. Yeah, the turnovers are high at over 3 a game, but you shouldn't be playing with turnovers anyway. And overall, he was incredible. And he was a guy that, you know, I had at number 1 preseason, ended up number 1. I got him at number 4 in a couple of leagues. I was very happy with that, the way that worked out. And I can't see not taking him inside the top 2 or 3 picks next season. If he falls to 3, I think you got yourself a bargain with Davis and Harden likely going ahead of him. But we know what Steph Curry is. He's going to give you those great percentages, the scoring, the 3-point, everything is going to be the same. He's Steph Curry. He's fantastic. That's all we really need to say about him. Sean Livingston came across after a pretty decent season in Brooklyn, nowhere near the impact in Golden State, and that's understandable. He didn't have to play as big a role. He wasn't starting. He played 19 minutes. He was a key contributor. 6 points a game, 2.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 0.7 steals, that great field goal percentage of 50%, 71 from the free throw line. And it's in very, very limited minutes, which is fine. Because if we look at what they look like on a per 36 basis, 11 points, but 4.5 boards, 6.5 assists, 1.5 steals, there's some pretty good numbers. So you know if something, heaven forbid, happened to Steph Curry, Livingston could step in there and he wouldn't become the best player in fantasy basketball. He wouldn't be a top 10 guy. He wouldn't be a top 20 guy. But Sean Livingston would be a guy that you'd want to make sure you owned in every league because he's going to get you big rebounding numbers, decent assist numbers, good percentages, okay scoring, and he'd be someone that you would want in standard fantasy leagues. He would have that value for those sort of situations if something happened to Steph Curry. But overall, he was a key piece for this team. He was a great player off the bench for them. And deeper leagues, he ended up ranked as the 231st player in per game value. So that's deep leagues, obviously. That's, you know, 20-team leagues, 18-team league valuable. But it's still there, and he's always a guy just to watch in case something happens to Steph. Klay Thompson playing alongside Steph. We saw what happened with him in the preseason with the trade talk with Kevin Love. He stayed, and I'm sure the Warriors fans are very, very happy that they did make that decision. He was another awesome player for them during the season. He finished as the 14th ranked head-to-head guy. He was 7th overall in roto leagues, 13th in head-to-head leagues for total value. He tailed off a little bit 21st post-All-Star break, but that's nitpicking, really. He averaged almost 22 points a game. He also hit 3 triples a game. Now, he doesn't give you as good peripheral stats as Steph. 3 rebounds, 3 assists, over a steal, 46 and 88, but still great, great percentages. He hit his threes at 44%. He has hit three-pointers at over 40% in each season of his NBA career. That's a pretty impressive feat for a guy who's taking so many attempts as well. The last three seasons, he's taken 6.5, 6.6, 7.1 three-point attempts per game, and he's hitting them all at 40%. And at 44 last season, he was incredible. So if you're talking a league where you've got three-point percentage as a category, Clay's probably a first-round pick. Now, as the 14th guy in head-to-head leagues, that's obviously very good, but he is, say, somewhat of a specialist because he gives you a lot of points, a lot of threes, and not any real big contributions in the other areas. I would be hesitant about taking him in the top 20. I think there is other guys I'd probably prefer, but I can understand doing it because shooting guard, it's not easy to find a good shooting guard. Although if you get Steph Curry, you play him at shooting guard and you can pick another point guard later on because he is shooting guard eligible on most sites. But Clay's a guy that he ranked high. I just don't know if I'm comfortable taking him inside the top 20. Maybe at the end of the teens, just before the 20s, the late teens, that's the spot I'd like him, but I don't necessarily like him at 14. But that's not to say he'd probably finish that same ranking next season. No reason to think that he wouldn't. I just don't know if I'm really comfortable taking him in that spot. Positional scarcity does play a factor, as I mentioned before, so that would be the only thing bumping him up. But otherwise, we know what Steph Curry's like. We know what Klay Thompson gives us, and he gives us in pretty big chunks with the points and the threes. And then those other little bits are not terrible, but they're not elite sort of numbers. So bear that in mind, but I couldn't fault you if you took him in the second round. Now, a question came in on Instagram from Jasmine, who's at jsierra_b. It's an interesting question. I don't have the full details from her here, but I'll see what I can do. She says, in a one-player keeper standard league with Harden as my keeper, okay, I have the third and ninth picks in the second round. What two players should I build around Harden if they're available? And the names she gives me here are Clay Thompson, Draymond Green, Blake Griffin, Kawhi Leonard, Andre Drummond. Well, I'm going to say straight away you don't build around Andre Drummond, because building around Drummond just takes away so much of the advantage of having Harden, and that's that big free throw percentage. You put Drummond with him and you're not, even though Harden is the best free throw guy in the league, putting Drummond with him makes you not competitive in that category. So you're already wasting some of Harden's talent. So I say not him. I think that Blake Griffin to me and Kawhi would be the two guys that I would target to pair with Harden, but I can understand putting Clay in that mix as well. I think that you'd want to go Harden, you would take Blake, definitely, and then up to you how you prefer Clay or Kawhi. I would take Kawhi personally with those picks, but there might be other guys around that area. We're talking the second round here. I think there's going to be some other guys in that area that might be worthy even over these players. It depends on who else is around, but Blake would be the guy that I'd be targeting, definitely. Draymond, probably not. I don't necessarily think that he should be looked at in the second round. We'll talk about him in a second. But Blake and then Kawhi would be the way that I would lean, with Clay not too far behind. And it becomes a little bit of a, how do you want to play it? Which guy do you prefer? But I like Kawhi because of his ability to skew bigger, whereas Clay and Harden are both actually playing the same position, which not necessarily is a bad thing, but that's the way I'd go. So sorry for being so long-winded on that answer. That's the way that I would approach that one. Let's talk about some of the other guys, the shooting guards on this roster. Leandro Barbosa, who played a pretty key role for this team in the playoffs, not a great fantasy option, I think it's fair to say. He has little stretches where he can put up numbers. Now, he's an unrestricted free agent for next season, so he may not even be back with the Warriors, but he put up some okay numbers in his 15 minutes. 7 points, 0.7 triples, not much else, 0.6 steals, 1.5 rebounds, 1.5 assists, but some really nice percentages, 47 and 78, and that ranked him as 264th. So he's sort of out of the realm of nearly all leagues, and I don't really see him becoming a factor if he does go to another team. He will still be that bench guy. Look, he could go to a really bad team. He could go to the Lakers and play off the bench and become way more useful, but I just don't necessarily see it happening. So he's not someone that I think that we should be looking at targeting. Justin Holiday, brother of Drew, he had a pretty decent season. Not fantastic, but not bad. Now, the Warriors have got to offer him a qualifying offer. He ended the season as the 322nd ranked player He had some stretches where he was putting up numbers when Clay was injured, but overall, it just... I don't think he's got a great future in the league. I'll put it that way. He's got a decent future. He can stick around for a few years, I think, for sure. He averaged 4 points, 0.6 threes, 0.7 steals, which is one of the key numbers in his 11 minutes. And again, on a bad team, he could definitely be a useful player. His per 36 numbers are okay. 14 points, 2 threes, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, 0.7 blocks, which is quite good as a guard. He's been a guy who has put up block numbers as a shooting guard when he's played in the league. He played in the league 2012-13 for the Sixers, 9 games, and averaged 0.7 blocks in 16 minutes. So that gives him a little bit of extra value. But if he comes back to the Warriors, he will be playing, you know, assuming Barbosa doesn't come back. Maybe he gets a little bit of a bigger role. But that's... there's no real avenue for him to become a star or a guy, you know, getting big minutes with Clay and with Steph ahead of him. That sort of limits his upside for dynasty-type formats. But it's not... if I'm looking at a dynasty league, I take Holiday above Barbosa because he is younger and I think there is a little bit more brightness to his future. Brandon Rush, guy that we didn't really see a huge amount of. He played 33 games, 0.9 points, 1.2 rebounds, 20% shooting, 46 from the line, 11 from three. Yeah, that's pretty bad. He was the 459th ranked player for the season. He was a good player a few years ago. Not so much anymore, so I don't think we need to pay really any attention to him. Small forwards. Harrison Barnes started the season, or started every game, played 82 games, started them all, and he's a key cog for this team. Doesn't mean he's a key cog for a fantasy league, though. He ended up being the 172nd ranked player in head-to-head games per game. Overall, he was 114th because he played 82 games. But as a roto player, 76th because he's just that steady player. 10 points, over a 3, 5 rebounds, 5.5 rebounds, 0.7 steals, 48, 72. Just nice, solid, not going to hurt you numbers. Now, in a 12-team roto league, I think there's a position for him. In a 12-team head-to-head league, I don't really like it at all. He was a lot better of an actual NBA player than a fantasy contributor, most definitely. But it doesn't always, as we see here, it doesn't always translate into fantasy value. I think what we see from Harrison Barnes, he can still get better, but I don't think he gets significantly better, especially on this team. Assuming Draymond Green comes back, he's going to be a fourth, fifth type option. And he just does what he does. He chimes in with threes occasionally, grabs some rebounds, plays some defense, and that's really valuable, but it doesn't give you huge value for your fantasy league. I don't think we'd be looking at him in any sort of head-to-head standard leagues next season. Roto leagues, the last couple of picks, we might want to target him. Look, you might want to target him in the last couple of picks of a 12-team league, but overall, Harrison Barnes is a solid player, but I don't think he's ever going to be an explosive, dominant, top 70 type of guy in head-to-head leagues. Andre Iguodala, the finals MVP, didn't start a game all season. We've heard that story numerous times. He only averaged 7.8 points in the regular season in 27 minutes. Not a great deal. He was 157th in his regular season head-to-head per game value. He's not a guy for standard leagues either. He's sort of that. He's a 14-team league guy, no doubt, and he does still contribute. So the 7.8 points is bad, but he hit a three a game. He got 3.5 rebounds. He got 3 assists. He got over a steal a game. He's 47% from the field. He's okay. He's 60% from the free throw line. Is not ideal, but he's that guy who gives you those other stats apart from scoring. Does it change for Andre Iguodala next season? No, I think he was pretty comfortable playing that role. I don't see much changing for this team at all. You just assume that every guy will be back, everyone will be into a similar role. All the guys that matter will be back, I'll put it that way, because, you know, David Lee might not be back, Barbosa might not be back. There are a number of guys who may or may not be back for this team, but they're not going to be the ones who really play a key role. So Iguodala's a guy that, for that deeper leagues, or he's a guy that, look, standard leagues can use him, definitely. If you want someone, I need to get assists, I need 3 assists, I need 4 assists, I need 4 rebounds, he can be that guy who gives you that value. You just don't expect it on a long, a season-long sort of basis for 10 and 12-team leagues. Like, I owned Iguodala in 12-team leagues for stretches of last season when I needed what he provides. And that's the way you got to look at basically anyone. Anyone can be sort of owned in a 10 or 12-team league. It's just whether they're worth hanging on to and owning for the entire season. And he wasn't one of those guys who had value or prolonged value across the duration of the season. Let's talk Draymond Green now, one of the biggest surprises of the season. I was relatively high on him in the offseason. Didn't think he'd be as good as what he was. And in one of my leagues, he was actually on the waiver wire after about the first week, and I didn't grab him. Then I went to grab him, and someone had snuck him off just in front of me, which really disappointed me. He ended the season as the 37th best head-to-head guy per game, 17th in his Roto League value. He was pretty spectacular, let's put it that way. He only played 32 minutes a game, 11.7 points, which isn't great, but 1.5 threes, 8 rebounds, almost 4 assists, 1.6 steals, 1.3 blocks, 44 and 66. So he's not a good percentage guy. But the triple one, only two guys with the triple one this season, Draymond and Danny Green, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. They're fantastic numbers from Green. He's going to get a very, very big contract, a max contract this offseason. He wants to be in Golden State. I'm sure they want him back. We saw that triple-double in the last game, or in game 6. You know, basically winning them the championship. They want him back. He'll be back. He has been a real find for this team. And I don't think anyone could have predicted that we would have seen Draymond Green as a top 40 fantasy guy. Assuming he is back in Golden State, where do we look to him next season? Well, Jasmine was asking before about, you know, do I take him in the second round? I don't think that's the right decision. I think that position between 30 and 50 is a good spot. You're not going to get him at 50. Someone is going to grab him before that. You know, people will probably grab him before 30, to be honest. And that might be a little early. Maybe. It really depends on the way you're building your team. But I can see picking him inside the top 30, and it doesn't really faze me. If someone's grabbing him inside the top 20, I'm maybe a little bit going, maybe not, maybe not. But outside the top 20, I'm relatively happy with it. David Lee. He was not good. 19 minutes for the season. 8 points, 5 rebounds, standard, not much else, half a block, 0.6 steals, 51% and 65 from the line. And that's great if he's getting big minutes, but he's not going to get big minutes in Golden State. A lot of people were like, well, we need to grab David Lee when he comes back. This was at the start of the season. People were holding on to David Lee. This current iteration of David Lee is not fantasy relevant in 10-team leagues, 12-team leagues, 14-team leagues, 16-team leagues. You know, we're talking 18-team leagues for David Lee at this point. I said he was 211th in his per-game value. That is not good. He tailed off a lot down the stretch as well. 307th post-All-Star break. He was invisible throughout the playoffs. He might not even be on this team next season. They could trade him. They could waive him. They could do a number of things because he does have a very, very large contract still. But you don't want to deal with it from a fantasy point of view. If he goes to, a bad team, if he gets 30 minutes, you're going to get 15 points, 9 rebounds. You're going to get that from him. You're going to get a good field goal percentage. You might get a steal a game. You might get 0.8 blocks a game, and that'll be useful. But if he's sitting in the Warriors, there's no chance of you wanting anything to do with him, and he's getting up there in age. He's getting old. So in terms of, is he going to return back to All-Star David Lee? Probably not. But he still could be useful if he finds himself in a different scenario than where he is at the moment. Maurice Spates, a real interesting player this season. He was just a ridiculously good scorer. He only played 16 minutes a game, but 10 points a game in 16 minutes. That's really good. 4.3 rebounds, 49 and 84. So great percentages as well. If you look at him on a per 36 basis, he averaged 23.6 points a game per 36 minutes. 9.7 rebounds, 49% from the field, said 84 from the line, a block a game. Incredible. He's just never going to get those minutes. He was great off the bench. He did exactly what they needed him to do off the bench. And there were times when you had to use Maurice Spates in 12-team leagues, and yeah, obviously anything deeper than that. Overall, he ended up ranked 213th, so about the sort of same level as David Lee, because his minutes weren't high. But from a per 36 basis, he was the 34th ranked player. That's how good his numbers were. But just the ability for him to get into a bigger role, it's not there unless you know, there's an injury that befalls Draymond or Andrew Bogut, or they go in a different direction. But you think it's pretty unlikely, because he just doesn't feel like a guy who's going to be able to maintain that scoring intensity or scoring touch for a full 30 minutes. So while the per 36 numbers look good, I think that if he was actually playing 36 minutes or 32 minutes, I don't think the numbers would necessarily translate to be 24-9. I don't think that's something that's a realistic thing for him. If he played 30 minutes, you'd get decent scoring, you'd get okay rebounds, and he'd be worth a look for standard leagues, but not to that same level. James Michael McAdoo signed on as an undrafted rookie for this team. Didn't do a huge amount, 9 minutes in 15 games, but I thought he was impressive in the games that he did play. 4 points, 2.5 rebounds, 0.6 blocks, a 55% shooter from the field. And again, that all translates into big numbers. 16 and 10, 1.3 steals, 2.4 blocks. They're some really good per 36 numbers. And not that I'm thinking he's going to have any sort of impact next season, but if there's anyone I'm looking at on this team who potentially could become not even a dynasty sleeper, but a really deep league guy, he could overtake David Lee. If Lee's not there, he could overtake Maurice Spates. He could end up playing 15 minutes a game in more games and become a factor. So he's a guy to sort of keep an eye on in dynasty leagues because the numbers translate really well. And I think that he showed that he can stick in this league for a little bit of time anyway. Andrew Bogut missing in the finals completely, but that doesn't discount what he did in the regular season in only 24 minutes a game. Now, it's only 6 points a game, but 8 rebounds. He almost had 3 assists, 0.6 steals, 1.7 blocks, and a 56% shooting from the field meant that he was the 69th ranked player in head-to-head leagues in a per-game value. At per 36, he's 32nd. So his numbers were really, really impressive, aside from the scoring, which obviously wasn't good. But big rebounds, good blocks, good assists for a center, okay steals, and a really good field goal percentage as well. Now, he was absent from the finals in those last couple of games as the Warriors went small. Are they going to go small all season? There's no chance they're going to go small all season. He'll probably play a similar role, a 24-minute, 22-minute a game center, be there. He was an elite defender, an all-second team, all-NBA, all-defensive team guy. He meant a lot to this team. It was just a matchup thing against Cleveland, but he is a key contributor, a good rebounder, a great shot blocker, an elite defender, a great passer for a big man. There's a lot to like about Andrew Bogut if your team's set up to fit him in. He should be owned in most 12-team leagues. Now, he probably won't be. I'm happy taking him at the end of a draft if I need a guy that's going to give me 8 rebounds and give me 1.5 to 2 blocks and really help my field goal percentage. He can be there. And we saw that per game, 69th is really good because of those big numbers in those categories, the blocks, the field goals, the rebounds. They're really good. And that assist number, not hurting you at all from a center. So Andrew Bogut's a guy who's probably, I know he's a lot underrated in fantasy circles, but he had a really, really good season. I really like what Festus Ezeli did this season as well. He played only 46 games, 4.5 points, 3.5 rebounds in 11 minutes, 0.9 blocks and 55%. He does basically what Bogut's able to do. 300th in his per game value. And if something was to happen to Bogut, which is definitely not a crazy thought, Ezeli's a guy that if he gets 25 minutes a game, then he gets into that position where you want to look at him at the end of 12-team leagues, or you want to start owning him in 12-team leagues for his rebounding ability, for his shot-blocking ability, for his field goal percentage. He's a guy that can have a contribution, but he is stuck behind Bogut. He's stuck behind when the Warriors go small and play Draymond at center, but he's no doubt a key piece of this team. The last guy I want to touch on is Ogun Kuzmic, who played only 5 minutes a game in 16 games. He's not very old. He's a young player, but I don't think there's a huge amount to like for him. He's a restricted free agent this offseason. They could bring him back, but I wouldn't be getting out there to go and grab him in leagues. There's just too many other guys here. I like McAdoo more. I like Ezeli more. Obviously, Bogut more. There's a lot of other big men who are in front of him, and I don't really think there's much to like about Ogun Kuzmic, and I'm sure I'm saying that incorrectly, for fantasy leagues. All right, guys, that's it. I'm done. That is the season in review series completed. What we've got to look forward to now, well, you've heard that the mock draft podcast that myself, Matt, and Mark Roberts did a couple of days ago, so you've heard that. We're going to have the draft coming up soon, so there's going to be, obviously, a draft podcast. And at this point, I'm still deciding how I'm going to do it. Probably what I'll do is do a podcast straight after the draft overview, and then what I'm thinking of doing is, like the season in review, one team per podcast. What I might do is cover two teams per podcast and just focus solely on the rookies for you guys in dynasty leagues and keeper sort of formats that really want to get to know the rookies, break down what they can do. They probably won't end up being long podcasts, but just do it that way just to break down all these new players coming into the league. So that's what I'm thinking of at this point. Then when free agency starts, we'll probably have a couple of shows a week just touching on the free agency moves that have gone down, any trades that have happened. Then I've got a few other things up my sleeve before we really start ramping things up for next season. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, subscribe to the YouTube page, and leave a review and a ranking on iTunes. That is very much appreciated when you do that. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.